Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There is no better group of plants for flower power than forms of the shrubby potentilla.
Hello and welcome to This Week in the Garden. I'm Peter Seabrook, here to help with some of your gardening quandaries. Today, I picked the brains of a man with over 30 years' experience in the nursery business. Once a butcher, now the head of Hardy's Cottage Garden Plants, it's Rob Hardy. My thanks to Sutton Seeds of Torquay, sponsors of this podcast. And thanks also to Charlie Jones, my producer. Goodness, what a scorcher it was last weekend. I mentioned Amelanchier last week in the programme. Well, mine, they were in bud, came out full, and the petals had fallen in 4 days. We usually have 2 or 3 weeks' beauty from them. But with the cooler temperatures now, our flowering cherries and ornamental crabs, they should last a little longer with luck. But boy, that warm weather really hit the garden centres. I mean, they were packed out with people buying plants. I understand Wyvale, for example, were 42% up in their plant sales last weekend. So a lot of you must be out there cutting the grass, tickling up the borders and replanting the containers, ready for a marvellous summer. You know, certainly when I visited centres in both Reading and in Essex, they were absolutely buzzing. So make sure those plants are kept well watered if you're on light, dry land. When it comes to news, there's almost too much happening in the horticultural world. A fire at the new Gardman warehouse. Gardman are a wholesale distributor getting all kinds of garden equipment and kit to garden centres. And they are one of the main suppliers of bamboo canes. And of course, the whole lot went in the fire. I've heard that 12 containers have just arrived from China, so there will be some deliveries. But quite honestly, if you're thinking of buying canes for your runner beans or your tomatoes or whatever, and you see some at the local garden centre, I would buy them. They could be short before the season is out. And another fire too at the Strikes Garden Centre at Stokesley in North Yorkshire. The garden centre burnt out completely. I don't know what set that going, but I worked on that, the design of that centre, and remember very well a fellow called Jack Snyder, president of the Garden Centres of America, opening it back in the 70s, and a number of the staff that I worked with then are still on site. So, you know, my heart goes out to them. It's really tough when you've worked to get everything ready for the spring season and then see the whole thing destroyed by fire. Hopefully they'll soon be up and running again. And there's news too of a whole chain of garden centres, Home and Garden, going into administration. And one of our major rose growers, Chesham's in Beds, they've gone into administration too. You know, with the 2 cold, snowy weekends in March, trading has been hit. And of course, the world is very competitive these days. And it's too easy to get into difficulty. But at last, the weather has turned warm, and now we need to really crack on. The hedges seem to go green overnight when we had those really high temperatures a week or so ago. And 3 little amelanchier trees in my back garden. Boy, they are a sight. Absolutely full of white flowers with the young copper foliage coming out. They're a real picture. And of course, with the topsoil drying, I could get cracking, sowing peas and parsnips, beetroot, oh, and the Whitloof chicory, that needs to be sown in April, all of the salads. But you need to keep your eye open once the weather warms. You know, some of our garden pests can be on the move. And I noticed a number of scarlet lily beetles. They usually go to the snake's head fritillary first, and I caught several in the last few days. Every one of those you can catch, cup your hand well underneath, because as soon as the plant moves, they drop to the ground. And whilst they might be scarlet on the top, they're black underneath and very difficult to spot. And so if you can just cup your hand, put the stem between the second and third finger, and then you can get them and pinch those little devils. The slug population too is pretty high. And have you noticed that if there's a black plastic pot standing on soil, if you lift it up, invariably there's a slug or two underneath, and that's a good way to trap them. If you put a cabbage leaf on the ground, that works much the same way. If you're going to use slug pellets, then why not put a few under a tile? Because that acts like the bottom of the black plastic pot. You know, it's dark and damp, but not too damp that the pellets disintegrate. And of course, the slugs going under the tile into the dark in the daytime find the pellets, and that...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Reduces the numbers. Now, over the years, I've visited a lot of flower shows, and one of the smiling faces I look out for is Rob Hardy of Hardy's Cottage Garden Plants. Now, Rob, you're already on the road, aren't you, with your floral displays?
Yes, we've just done our first one at the inaugural flower show at Ascot, the Ascot Racecourse, which we did last Friday, Saturday and Sunday.
A pretty stunning venue, wasn't it? Goodness, I hadn't been to Ascot before, but when you get to the gates and see that grandstand, I mean, it's a fantastic venue, isn't it?
It is indeed. It was rebuilt 11 years ago. And, the facilities there and the whole site is absolutely brilliant.
Has the makings of a really good show, I think.
Yeah, the potential is there. The weather could have been a little bit better on a couple of days, but, the potential is there, definitely.
Yeah. Now, Rob, this is the 30th anniversary, I think, isn't it, for Hardy's Cottage Garden Plants? Can you take us back?
Yeah, Rosie, my wife, is the plant woman. She actually went to Riddle College, which I'm sure you know very well, back in the early 80s, and she studied commercial vegetable growing. And her thesis for HND in the final of the year, 10,000-word thesis, was rhubarb.
Really?
And she got one of the two prizes that year. So she's the horticulturalist. And what happened was, in 1988, we lived at Camberley, and we were clearing out the garage. Rosie worked at a farm shop at the time. And she went to the car boot sale. And while she was there, saw plants being sold. And it was at Ascot Racecourse 30 years ago in their car park.
That's amazing.
And so she went back the following week selling plants. And like I say, 30 years on, there we are doing a flower show at the Ascot course itself.
What a remarkable coincidence.
Yeah, yeah.
I hadn't realised that. Yes, yeah. Your origins...
Yep.
And then a big flower show on the site.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, the conversion from selling a few plants, sort of farm shop style, to what you do now is really quite remarkable, isn't it? I mean, you've
I was Rose is a horticulturalist, but I'm the commercial side of it. I was a meat manager for Sainsbury's and Waitrose and people like that, so I'd had the selling background and so on. And my view was that we needed to get a business big enough so that we could just actually go and enjoy it as well. So we leave people here at the nursery. We employ 9 permanent staff, 6 full-time, 3 part-time, which allows us to go and do other things as well. So we had to put the effort in early on to make sure we became large enough to be able to do that.
So how many shows a year would you actually go to, do you know?
In the early days, we used to do 40, 50, maybe 60 shows a year. We used to do all the agricultural shows around the country, Royal Highland, Royal Norfolk, Royal Cornwall, Royal Welsh, all the big flower shows like that. And then obviously Hampton Court, when it started, we did that one. That's 29 years this year we've been going there. Gardeners World Live. Tatton Park we did till this year. It's a little bit too far for us to go now. Harrogate, we're there next week for about the 26th year, 27th year. So, yeah, we go all over the place.
I mean, that's quite grueling, isn't it? My background, of course, in the 60s and 70s, we did 40 shows a year from Brighton to Newcastle. To actually grow the stuff, stage it and be on the stand behind the ropes, I mean, they're pretty long, grueling days, aren't they?
They are indeed, but it's like horticulture. If you enjoy it, you just do it. And the thing is, I love being at the shows talking to people because they come to see me because of what they see on the displays. And it's one of the easiest ways to get talking to people is about gardening. It's, you know, having been a butcher and so on, then coming into horticulture. The reaction people get from seeing a display, and it could be one of Rose's displays at Chelsea where she's put a new combination together of plant material, and it just wows them. And then you just get chatting to them, and that's the bit I love.
Yeah. Well, it's a very good combination too, isn't it? If you've got a really good horticulturist alongside a business brain, that's the perfect partnership.
Yeah, I think so, because what you tend to find a lot of specialist nurseries, they love growing the plants, but they like to grow the plants that they always like, which is nice. But you've still got to make a living out of it.
You have, indeed.
Therefore, I bring into question, why are we growing that? Why can't we grow more the ones we can sell? So there is a balance then between the commerciality of it and the range of plant material. But having said that, we grow nearly over 1,200 varieties of perennials, and they're peat-free as well. So,
yes, I was going to come on to that. All of your plants, sort of pot and container grown, are in a Melcourt peat-free compost, aren't they?
They are indeed. We looked at it about 5 years ago, and we did some trials, and then we started full-time on it 3 years ago, and it's been absolutely brilliant. One of the best things for us is, because we grow outdoors, one of the biggest problems you get is during the winter, and one of the things we tend to find was that peat would hold too much moisture during the winter, and when you got the cold spells, it'd be just like little solid ice cubes, and we'd lose a lot of stock. With the Melcourt, that is bark-based, it tends to drain really well. And because of that, we don't get so many losses during the winter. So that's worked very well. And people get a little bit worried about watering. But if you just water a little bit less, a bit more, but less often, a bit more often, but less water at a time. And the other thing that happens is the plants will then work harder and put better root systems down to survive anyway. So they become tougher.
Yeah. So you're very happy with that, do you?
Oh, very much so. We don't change the mix for any of our perennials, whether it's moisture-loving ones or dry-loving ones. They can all cope with it quite happily.
And then will you use slow-release fertiliser?
Yeah, we use slow-release fertiliser with low nitrogen one, high potassium and potash one, so that obviously we get a better root system, better flowering system. We don't want loads of lush growth. We want a good solid root system, and that's what we tend to go for.
You know, as I sit here thinking about Hardy's Cottage Garden plants. You mentioned Hampton Court. I remember the flower borders that you staged there with the thatched cottage.
Yep.
I mean, you did some fantastic flower gardens there, didn't you?
We were very lucky, actually. It goes back to 2000. We were approached by the organisation that did the big pavilion. And the one we came in on was the Four Seasons. So they did the Spring, Summer, Autumn and Winter Garden with four separate designers. And Rosie was asked to do the one around the cottage itself. And we had a fabulous time. We did seven of those in 8 years. But most of those gardens were 500 square meters, which is over twice the size of a Chelsea garden. You still had only 3 weeks to put it together. And you were working around the construction company were building a copy of the cottage. And then we had to go and build the one inside the marquee as well, the nursery exhibit. So for 5 weeks of the year, we just lived at Hampton Court, which was absolutely fabulous. We had some great times there.
And what's the journey time? You're in Hampshire, aren't you?
We stayed on site. We had accommodation, but it's about an hour and quarter from here to Hampton Court.
Because that is what I find the testing thing today, getting to flower shows, you know, actually driving to them with the way the motorways are, finding somewhere to park, you know, actually getting onto site is really quite demanding.
You have to work with the organisations concerned. It's like with Chelsea. I've got a great Kiwi guy called Neil, who's been with me 27 years this year. And he must be nocturnal because he's from New Zealand, but we know that we have to get into Chelsea, get a load off and get back out again. So what he will do is make sure he's on the gate at 6:30 in the morning, every morning going up to Chelsea. So he's one of the first into the showground. So we work to the system they've got. We have to go park up, queue up, get registered to go into the showground. But we're normally in the showground within the first half hour, offloaded within an hour, hour and a half, and he's away again, ready to go and get the next load. So a lot of these places, if you work with them, you can work with the system, then you can find a way of getting through it. It's when you just turn up and expect everybody to just drop things for you. That doesn't happen.
No. There's too many vehicles now.
Well, I think there's 3,000 vehicle movements go through the one gate at Chelsea every day.
And this year, we can only approach from the west, I understand.
Oh, I don't know about that. I haven't found that one out yet.
Yeah. I mean, you're all right because you come from the west.
Yeah, yeah.
We Essex boys are going to have to do a U-turn
The back. Yeah, I didn't realise that. I haven't found that one out yet. I can understand why, though. The embankment there, it is really dangerous for the traffic going through and all the cycle lanes and everything else like that.
Yeah, and they've got the road up, I think. I think that's the problem. There's some building or repair work or something going on that road.
I shall look forward to seeing that one. We're in a situation where we get to what we need to know, because next week I'm off to Harrogate. 2 weeks after that, we're off to Malvern. And then 5 weeks yesterday is Chelsea. So all I know is 8 o'clock on the Monday at Chelsea, I've got to be ready for judging. Everything else, you know, we just as we get nearer, then we work out the logistics accordingly.
Oh, well, I'm having sleepless nights worrying about having enough stuff or having too much stuff.
Right, the good news about that one is I never panic because it always works out right on the day. It's Rosie who suffers the pressure because we're on our 27th year this year and she's already got 22 gold medals. But the pressure each year, I get comments made to me if I start mentioning how long it is and so on. But you try and go, it's like going to, I've just been through the show tunnels this morning, and you try and encourage our nursery manager, Hillary, and Rosie have worked together for the last 25 years. And they have an amazing understanding of all the plants that they grow. Where they need to go outside or come back inside. Will this one make it? Will that one make it? And we're also supplying a couple of gardens at Chelsea as well. So you've also got the pressure of that as well. And a couple of weeks ago, you think this is not going to work at all. Then suddenly, as soon as you get the light levels and things start to pick up, things change very, very quickly. And it's holding your nerve and having the confidence in your ability that you've done for the last 25 years, 26 years, that it's going to work.
Well, I certainly keep my fingers crossed for both of us. But what new plants have you got to bring forward then, Robert?
We've actually got three varieties this year. We've just had another one quite recently. The first one is a Galardia called Apricot Honey, which is a beautiful apricot colour, soft colour. It goes to about 2 feet tall, and it reblooms. So it'll start late May time, go right the way through the summer, as long as you keep deadheading it. And it's one that Rosie's actually produced. We produced one about 15 years ago called Oranges and Lemons, or in this country it was called, St. Clements, because oranges and lemons. But it went over to America. It was a big hit in America. And we had to call it Oranges and Lemons over there because they couldn't understand the St. Clements bit. And it sold really, really well. They've got a slightly better climate in some places. But this one has grown really well. We've trialled it for the last 2 years, and it looks really good. We've then got a Pulmonium from another nursery come to us, Dunmore Nursery up north. And it's a beautiful variegated one with a purple tinge to it when it first comes through. And it has the normal blue flower in it, but the foliage looks stunning in the spring, and then it goes more golden, bronzy colour in the summer with the blue flowers on, purpley blue flowers on the top.
And what's that going to be called?
That one is going to be called Kaleidoscope.
Right.
Which sums it all up nicely. And the other one we've got is it's a fourth colour in the series of Love and Wishes series of salvias, and this one's called Kisses and Wishes. And it's a lipstick pink colour. They've already got a red, purple, a fairly dark red, but this is a lipstick pink colour. Goes to about 2 feet tall. Again, it flowers all through the summer just by deadheading and so on.
I mean, I've got Little Kiss at home.
Right.
And that's just started to flower.
Oh, crikey, that's early.
Well, I've been pushing it,
you know. Yes, But the Kisses and Wishes one we thought was quite appropriate this year. It had been our 30th wedding anniversary the week after Chelsea as well.
Well, I always knew you were a real romantic.
Well, that's Rob, right. That's right.
I can't wait till I see Ross. And can you give us one or two others? I mean, there were some Galia that Ross bred, wasn't there, that have become very popular?
Well, we've launched many plants over the years for different people. One of the biggest things we've launched since 2010 was the GMs. They weren't bred by us, but they're bred down in Sussex, one of them was, called Totally Tangerine. And that's become, it's the longest flowering plant we have on the nursery. We launched it in 2010. Starts flowering in April, still flowering in September, October, 3 to 4 feet high, and just keeps reblooming all the time. And then we had another one 2 years ago, which we got runner-up for Chelsea Plant of the Year. And that was called Scarlet Tempest, bred by Liz McGregor up in Scotland. And again, it's already come into flower now. Even though it was under snow 3 weeks ago, they're already starting to flower outside. And again, that will go to about 2 feet high, scarlet brick colour, and it will flower out through till September, just keep deadheading it. The other plant that Rosie is known for is the Garris.
Sorry, Garia.
The first one she came up with was Rosie Jane, which is her name. Rosie and then Jane is the second name. And it's a pink outer and a white inner. It just looks like a pickety one. And that was launched about 10 years ago and is available worldwide. And she's had another one follow on from that, a variegated version of it as well. So, yeah, we think we've launched over 100 plants over the last 20, 25 years. Chelsea and other shows as well. Not only our own varieties, but from other breeders. So we can help promote them. Because one of the things we tend to find is that a lot of the big growers can't get to the public. They go straight through garden centres. So what they do is they offer the plants to us to be able to launch at Chelsea so we can get the press publicity and the TV publicity, and then obviously it helps them in their marketing at the garden centres.
Yeah, you know, because it takes time, doesn't it, for names?
It does. It's getting the word around of just how good they are as well.
Yeah. Rob, I look forward to seeing you at Chelsea, if not before. Keep my fingers crossed for both of us. And let's hope we have a really good season.
Just keep the faith, keep the faith.
Thanks, Rob.
Cheers, thank you.
What's on? Well, as Rob mentioned, it's the Harrogate Spring Show. That's from the 26th to the 29th. And if you're going up to Harrogate, great show. I like to see the alpines up there. It's perfect time of the year for alpines. Look out for Rob and say hello. But if that's too far for you, down in the southwest for the 26th and 29th, Toby Buckland has his garden festival at Powderham Castle. As I say, that's near Exeter, and from the 27th to the 29th. Now, as my little tailpiece this week, I just wanted to recount an exchange between my brother and a fellow walking his dog. My brother on his bike, riding through the bridleways to visit the local residential home, sees people walking dogs every day and, you know, passes the time of day. and got into conversation with this gentleman of similar age, you know, both of them in their early 80s. And this chap asked what the name was, and my brother Robert said Seabrook, obviously, and he said, oh, my grandfather used to work for the Seabrooks. Not our family, I hasten to admit, but in our locality, there was a really big fruit-growing nursery company called Seabrooks, and apparently this fella's grandfather worked for them. And he was explaining that when he was courting, he and his fiancée used to go on a Sunday to visit her grandfather, and they'd be ushered into the front room, as was the way in the 50s, you know, they'd be offered a glass of homemade wine. He said on one occasion, he came out, he could hardly walk. You know, that country homemade wine could be quite strong. But the whole nub of the story was that this fellow working for the Seabrook farm at Christmas would be given a brace of pheasants and six mangels. Well, now, I'm not sure what most of us would think about having a brace of pheasants, because plucking them when they're cold with all the feathers on is a bit of a game. And then the six mangels. I can hear you saying, what's mangle? When I told my daughter this story, she said, is that something you dried the clothes with? No, mangels are a really big sort of root vegetable that we used to grow on farms to feed cattle and horses through the winter. And I said to my brother, six mangels? That wasn't much of a Christmas gift. What did they want those for? And he said, they used them to make wine. Well, now, can you imagine if you're a farm worker today with acres and acres of mangels and the farmer gave you six as a Christmas gift, you'd be looking down your nose a bit. Yeah, those were the days. Mangel wine and a brace of pheasants for Christmas. Thanks again to our sponsor, Sutton Seeds of Torquay. And thanks to you for listening. Enjoy your garden. We'll be back next Thursday. Discover more at sungardening.co.uk.